The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Now, let's get a few steers on what to watch on our TVs and our cinema screens over the next 7 days. Business Post film critic John McGuire and freelance pop culture journalist Jen Gannon join me now. Hi, guys.
How are you, Brent?
Hello.
Now, John, I'm not one to gloat, but I basically called the best movie Oscar last week, right?
All right, Apple won. For,
against Donald Clark, who I think was favouring the Power of the Dog.
So did I,
Apple won for Coke. Yeah. Apple, in fairness, I've said this to you before, I keep thinking of cancelling it, but they're building a good little stable of shows now.
That's
Severance
right.
is shaping up, and
Severance
it's quite good
great.
So far.
I like
Ptolemy Gray as well.
Yeah,
So Slow Horses, which is dropping tomorrow.
That's right,
you're saying that's a good one too?
Oh, yeah, very good. This is the new Apple TV series, like you say, is adapted from the first novel in Mick Herron's superlative 2010 spy novel, Slow Horses. Herron has written 7 of these novels. They're spy novels set in contemporary England. In many ways, he's kind of like the antidote to John le Carré, whereas le Carré was a master of analysing the philosophical rot at the centre of the British establishment. Herron is really more about analysing the rot itself. I mean, they're greasy stories of disenfranchisement, about people being rejected from the MI5, sent to this building in the middle of nowhere that's fallen apart and really crumbling. And they're basically sent there to run out their time, run down the clock on their careers. And it's a really interesting place to put a character like Jackson Lamb, who's played by Gary Oldman in this series, because he's so slippery the whole way through. You don't know whether he's on the side of the establishment or whether he's on the side of the people that are working for him, that have been sent there for some mistake, some error, whatever it might be, in their careers or in their personal lives. And they're sent there basically to run down the clock, and they get involved in an adventure. They come together and they grow as characters. And it's really, really fascinating.
There's a touch of that, but
it's a cynical kind of sense
of humor. Yeah,
I watched. Right. I said I'd watch 2 episodes to come in here and talk to you. I watched all 6 of them and I have no regrets. It's absolutely superb stuff.
Okay,
excellent.
Great.
Television.
And that's tomorrow. That's coming
from
that
April
rate.
4th. That's right. It's rated 16s on Apple TV Plus.
Okay, Jen, over to Amazon Prime and Hacks, you strongly recommend it.
Now, there's a bit of an issue with this. It was supposed to come out on Friday, April
1st. Because I did go looking for
April
it, and it's 1st, not there.
April Fool's Day. Maybe the joke is on us. Now, I don't know what the situation is with Amazon Prime. They have said that it will be on, this month at some stage. So I'm hoping next week. But, I mean,
this sounds great.
This is like my favourite show of last year. And it's Jean Smart. It all, revolves around her performance. She's spectacular. Like, we've seen her in Mare of Easttown. She played Helen, who is Mare's mother, and she just has this amazing comedic ability. And this story is basically, it's kind of the John Rivers story. She is playing the comedian Deborah Vance, and she's this veteran insults comic, and she's living out her days in Vegas on the circuit and, doing the same show every night. And basically, when there's this casino owner, Marty, he wants to downsize her show and she is not happy. And then her agent goes and contacts a young girl to kind of punch up Deborah's jokes and change them up. And she is this woke millennial who has been cancelled on Twitter for, her show. She has her own show, kind of like a Lena Dunham character.
Okay.
And it's like one of those culture clashes. The two worlds are, combining, and they're both kind of at it. They're flailing in both their careers, but then they both end up like helping each other out. And that way they're a completely odd couple, but it's so quick. Like, there are honestly too many one-liners in it that you're going, I want to remember that. It's so good. But also,
it's really with it.
Three-dimensional characters, and it's about more than that. It's more about not just the one-liners. It's about talking about women in comedy and the way they're treated and what their careers are like. And it's just, she's outstanding. Jean Smart is outstanding in it, about like how the industry has chewed her up and spat her out, and that bitterness as well. But there's also a bit of hope in it too. It's just absolutely
so
wonderful.
Keep an eye out for it.
Definitely.
Basically,
or
on Amazon,
if Amazon can tell us what is going on, please get in touch.
I'm not sure if Amazon listen. Now, you've both seen Moon Knight, which is another Marvel series on Disney Plus. There's enthusiasm.
I know. This is Marvel's latest output, or content or chewing gum for the eyes or whatever they call it over at Disney.
Oscar Isaac is chewing gum for a lot of eyes.
Well,
maybe,
yeah. And he is great. Oscar Isaac is great. And he plays this Moon Knight character, one of the lesser known heroes of the comics pantheon. He's an ordinary English bloke. He's fascinated by the gods of ancient Egypt. He works at the gift shop in the British Museum. And he discovers he's actually the earthbound avatar of Khonshu, who's the Egyptian god of the moon, voiced by F. Murray Abraham. And he's on a mission to stop Ethan Hawke's cult leader from waking up another evil ancient god and destroying the world. Takes a long. I watched four of these.
Yeah.
It's a little bit Indiana Jones. It's a little bit Jekyll and Hyde. There's a few decent action sequences and some fun character
and
work.
And it takes a while to get used to Oscar Isaac's accent because he's doing an English accent, and he said it's based on Carl Pilkington in Idiot Abroad. Like, okay. And his facial tics and everything like that is based on him. So that takes a while to adjust to. I think he sounds like Mike Skinner from The Streets. Like, I was very confused by it.
Oscar's okay. Isaac is the least of the problems. It's this story just doesn't really have a purpose. It doesn't have any reason to be other than this guy is going to pop up in a Marvel Comics movie at some point in the future, and he's going to be fighting somebody, or he's going to have something to do. And so this is do they have 8 episodes that we're supposed to be introduced to this guy with whatever the running around and shooting things and blowing things up? And this kind of back and forth banter that they have that the Marvel people seem to think of as wit becomes very tiring very quickly. And the actors are so much better than the material.
Really
all of them.
All right. Some people are going to watch it anyway. And it's there on Disney Plus. Gene, BBC One, The Split, which is, I gather, I've never seen this. BBC One's kind of answer to The Good Wife.
It is. And it's like, it's a film, a series about like high-end divorce lawyer Hannah Defoe. And she's played by Nicola Walker. And she's working in her family's solicitor firm alongside her mother and her sisters. And it kind of previously followed all three of the sisters. This is on season 3 now. But now it's just focusing on Hannah's unraveling marriage to her husband, Nathan, who's played by Stephen Mangan. And it's kind of like Call My Agent and The Good Wife in a way that you have a divorce of the week, a case of the week that they also kind of run parallel with the main storyline. And it's set 10 months after their divorce, and there is a revelation about Hannah and her relationship with her husband that I don't want to give away. If you're a fan, you need to see it. But it's written by Abby Morgan, and I think she wrote The Hour, and I think that show is so underrated. So it has that very glossy feel. It's really gripping.
What's The Hour?
Pacey. So that was the news show. It was about a news show.
And it
was a really good cast in that. And I think the problem is, if you don't have access to the iPlayer, which we don't, which I think is worse than Brexit, it means like you can't catch up on these shows now. So if you missed it, you're kind of out of the loop. But I think...
never mind Amazon. If the BBC were listening, people in Ireland would probably be willing to pay... Some people would be willing to pay to have that BBC.
I think because this is a standalone, because it's about their divorce, you can kind of drop into it.
I
think Nicola Walker is one of the most, she's understated, naturalistic. If you saw her in Unforgotten, like that's one of the best shows out there. And she is just such a great actress. And I think she should have a career like Olivia Colman. I think she's astonishing to watch.
So that's The Split, and that's season 3, and it's on BBC One on Monday. Okay, John, I sense disapproval here when I told you both when you came in that I know I shouldn't be, but I'm really enjoying Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty, which is on Sky Atlantic and Now TV.
Yeah. It's the real life comedy drama, and it is, I suppose, a comedy drama. It's spread over 10-hour long episodes, and it's a deep dive into the sporting and professional lives of the 1980s NBA basketball team, the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the most celebrated and dominant teams in sporting history, in the history of sport, never mind the NBA or basketball, and one that came to define the era and the times that they were playing and changed the sport that they were playing. And the first episode opens with a flash forward to Magic Johnson, Irvin Johnson, learning of his HIV positive status in 1991, years later. He would play for the Lakers for 13 years from when he joined them. He'd win 5 championships with them. He'd win Olympic gold with the US Dream Team. He's still living with the disease. But we know at some point where this story is going to end up. And that they give us that right up front. And then you flash back to 1979. and it's disco time. You know, it's a really disco show.
It's a great
show.
Period romp. Like the music, old funk
they
and
do all
soul
that really
and everything
well,
is, you know.
You know, they've used VHS cameras and old film stock, and they've tried to give it that kind of look of the late 1970s and the start of the video age. And we meet the businessman, Dr. Jerry Buss, who's played by John C. Reilly, and he's deciding to stake his entire fortune on buying the LA Lakers, who are a ruined team who won nothing for generations. And soon enough, the furious foul-mouthed coach of the team, who's brilliantly played by Jason Clarke, this legendary character,
great
Jerry
performances
West.
As well from
great
some
performances
people, yeah.
throughout the whole thing. Quincy Isaiah, the guy who plays Magic Johnson, is an instant star. He's so charismatic. He's got a fantastic smile
and looks exactly like Magic Johnson.
He's 9 foot tall. He's 9 foot tall and he can play basketball. So where is the problem? The problem is that this is an Adam McKay thing. This is Adam McKay did Vice and Don't Look Up, and he used to do the films with Will Ferrell. And he's got this over-the-top approach. His style is to throw everything at it. So there's lots of fast cuts and visual signposts. This kind of
self-conscious turning around,
breaking the wall.
Exactly.
Now, if you're into that, if you like that kind of thing, then you're going to love this. But if you're not, or if you're looking at the list of episodes and you're thinking, can I do 10 hours of this with Adam McKay's over the top style, and I don't know if I could. It's really the story. I've no problem with the story, and I've no problem with the characters. It's the way it's told I'm having an issue.
I'm finding it very entertaining, I must say. Anyway, that's Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty, and that's on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. And Jen, also on Sky Atlantic, we were talking about great English actresses. So Sarah Lancashire, who people know from Happy Valley
Gemma
and all
Pell.
That. It has got a big star vehicle, an American one now.
Julia. And I mean, it's one thing to step into the very idiosyncratic shoes of, you know, Julia Child, the chef. And it's another thing entirely to step into Meryl Streep's shoes, because I think most people this side of the Atlantic would have been made aware of her existence through the Meryl Streep's performance in the Nora Ephron film, Julie and Julia. But I have every faith in Sarah Lancashire to do this. I think, you know, she should, as we said, you know, before, but I just think that she should have a bigger career than she has. Like, I think Happy Valley was the blueprint for Mare of Easttown, and I think that, you know, that is her bravura performance. But anyway, this is about the chef Julia Childs, and it takes place in Boston in the early 60s. So you have the settings and the beautiful clothes, and it's about her occasional excursions to San Francisco, her breaking into TV, her relationship with her husband Paul Child, and he's played by David High Pierce from Frasier, Niles. It's really sentimental period drama. It's like a high toned sitcom. I felt like it was comfort food that we all kind of need at the moment. It looks beautiful. It touches on subjects like workplace sexism, early feminism, the downside of celebrity, but it does it in a very beautiful kind of comforting way. It's not too stressful to watch. It's a very relaxing view, and I think she will do really well for this. I'm hoping. She's amazing at it. Like, she's just a pinpoint perfect performance, and I just think we know that Happy Valley's coming back hopefully this year, so I think we're going to be seeing more and more of her on the screen. I can't wait to see that.
Okay, and Julia at Sky Atlantic Now TV, is it all up there now?
I think it'll be up there this week.
Okay. John, do we want to talk about another
Marvel?
Rubbish.
I can see
Marvel
the look on your face. Yeah,
like I've seen bad reviews, but Morbius.
Oh yeah, no, there's really dancing on Morbius. Poor old Morbius. This is the big film of the week, I suppose, and it's another origin story. It has Jared Leto go from Joker to Stoker. He plays the renowned biochemist Dr. Michael Morbius, who's dying from a rare blood disorder and attempts, physician, heal thyself. He tries to cure himself with a radical therapy by jumping into a cauldron of vampire bats, a DNA. And it kind of works in that he's not going to die anytime soon. But it's the side effects is that Morbius has turned himself into a vampire with superhuman abilities and an insatiable thirst for blood, which is potentially worse than the original disease, I suppose. Now, Dr. Morbius isn't a bad guy, but his alter ego, Marvel loves the alter ego, and he is. And I suppose this whole film serves the function that we're going to see him pop up again, maybe in a Venom or a Spider-Man or Blade when they reboot Blade.
So you tell me, a lot of the series earlier as well, and now this as well, a lot of it is to do with purely introducing new characters into the universe.
This is it. This is an already packed pantheon of superheroes, and they're trying to cram in the little guys behind the big statues at the front. The big ticket numbers are all getting origin stories for the bad guys that they're going to face at some point.
So it's kind of a product life cycle thing, like there's constant new product development.
You're getting closer to it. Like Marvel Universe is expanding at such a rate that we need Professor Brian Cox to sort this out, because it's terrifying. Like, we're living in this universe now.
But at hand is the issue of the film itself, which is remarkably bloated. I mean, even by the standards of Marvel, this thing is hugely overextended. It takes 40 minutes to get to the pointy teeth stuff. It takes another 40 minutes to go around biting people and having the rug pulled out from under them because there's a twist in the story. Matt Smith pops up, the British actor Matt Smith pops up. And for the last 40 minutes, it sets up a sequel that I can tell you now is never going to happen. But I'm tempted to say that the film lacks bite, but you might throw me out of the studio. But it lacks everything.
And it doesn't lack 2.5 hours, though, for God's sake.
Well, that's the thing. You pay your tenner, you make your choice. It's nationwide. It's rated 15, but rated 15A, excuse me. But I can't see anybody except the most diehard Marvel fans having to want to watch it.
OK, Jen, let's finish up on something more useful and sensible. So Netflix has new educational content that you would like to recommend.
Yeah, Principles of Pleasure, and I just think this is a really important subject. It's a three-parter, and it's just a journey on what the and an understanding of what the pleasure gap is and why it happens to women. So it's a really groundbreaking issue to highlight in a show on a popular streaming service. It really blows open those myths and tackles difficult subjects about how sexual relationships for women, they're uneven, and it's a real source of unhappiness. But it's done in this very approachable, conversational tone. It's not weird, like it's no joyous sex kind of weirdness about it. I think viewers will reflect on their own kind of relationships and their own, and think about their own bodies and their own, you know, reaction to pleasure. But it just asks us to consider a lot of questions about women's sexuality, the orgasm gap, how the vast majority of the scientific community has ignored everyone other than straight men about their pleasure, and how unrealistic beauty standards have contributed to our perception of our bodies, and why women don't feel happy in themselves, and how they can learn to appreciate their bodies more and their sexuality more. And I think, you know...
Okay, so you think this is an important piece
I
of television?
I do. I think, you know, its importance is it's an attempt to put power back into the hands of women, literally. And I think, you know, while we appreciate that it shouldn't be our responsibility, you know, it's not all our responsibility. It's a trial and error kind of sex show. Like, and I think it's groundbreaking in its frankness, but also it has a nice comedic kind of tone as well, so it's not scary. Scary watch.
Okay, that's the Principles of Pleasure on Netflix. John McGuire and Jen Gannon, thank you very much for that.